Hey, I'm Jesse. Let's have a devotion together. We're in Acts chapter 12. Let's pick up in verse 21. We read it yesterday. I'm going to pick up there and keep on going because there's something really important to cover in how God responds to Herod. On an appointed day, dressed in royal robes and seated on the throne, Herod delivered a speech to them, to the people of Tyre and Sidon. The assembled people began to shout, "It is the voice of a god and not of a man." At once, an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give the glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God flourished and multiplied. After they had completed their relief mission, Barnabas and Saul returned to Jerusalem, taking along John, who was called Mark. Now, about these closing words, you're going to see Barnabas, whose name means son of encouragement, accompany Paul. They're going to actually, at times, they're going to break company and become multiple church planting teams. And it's actually going to be over the matter of John, who is called Mark, or for sure, short, John Mark. It was at John Mark's mother's house that Peter showed up, and the servant Rhoda couldn't believe her ears when she heard his voice. So Paul and Barnabas are going to disagree on John Mark, and that's going to cause them to part company. But everything is copacetic right here in Acts chapter 12. Backing up to the bigger picture here, Herod has gotten up and put on his best robes and is seating on his throne. He's delivering a speech to the people, and the people begin to shout, "It's the voice of God and not of a man." He doesn't correct them. He takes the glory and he doesn't give it to God. He takes it for himself. And then note the chronology here. He was eaten by worms and died. So I'll let the medical experts speculate as to exactly what kind of worms we're talking about here, but it sounds like the worms began eating while the guy was still alive. That's pretty horrifying. But this was the wrath of God. This was the discipline of God upon this man, followed by the full wrath, because he didn't give the glory to God. We've seen severe consequences like this as well earlier in the book of Acts. If you see in our series, Origins, from the birth of the New Testament church to you, that's available at jessecampbellministries.com, we see Ananias and Sapphira come forward to make an offering, and they sold a plot of land, and they claimed that they sold it for this much, and they're giving the full amount over the church. But the reality is they sold it for this much, and they're keeping it for themselves. Okay, for those of you listening on podcast, I just raised my hands for the second half of that illustration. They claimed that they sold it for, say, 500 grand, and they gave 500 grand to the church, but they really sold it for 750 grand, for example, and they gave 500 of that to the church, which would be fine if they didn't claim to have given it all to God. And so they both dropped dead. They both dropped dead. This is in the New Testament. God takes this seriously. God takes sin very seriously. His glory is reserved for himself alone. And you can tell a false teacher from a true teacher by somebody who gives all the glory to God. Jesus gave us this rubric as well. It's why when somebody gives me a compliment on something that happened in one of my sermons, for example, or one of my books, I always respond, "Praise God. Praise God. And thank you," just because it's polite. And I'm not trying to elicit another compliment out of it. Okay, so you can take my line and use it if it works for you. If somebody says something to you about your ministry, your teaching, your leadership, and you don't want to take the credit that really belongs to God, you can say, "Praise God." And then when you say the word "thank you," it ends up stopping the conversation right there. That way you're not virtue signaling. That way you're not saying, "Hey, give me another compliment." Rather, I think utmost humility acknowledges the goodness of what God has just done by saying, "Hey, praise God for that. Thank you for saying that. Thank you for your kind words. Thank you for your encouragement." That's my formula. You use your own. The point is, learn from Herod's lesson, because God takes his glory seriously. It belongs to him and to him alone. And to try to look at the glory of God and say, "I'm going to have some of that for myself." Hello, Mormon friends. To look at the glory of God and say, "I want that," is literally the will of Satan in the prehistory that tells the story of Lucifer's fall. To crave the glory of the Most High for yourself is nothing short of satanic. So we learn our lesson from Herod, and we give glory to God. So say, "Praise God, thank you for your encouragement," and let it move on from there. I'm Jesse Campbell. Thank you for tuning in. I'll see you tomorrow as we continue in the book of Acts, a book that is still happening right now. So, go live out the book of Acts.